Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air. Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you been waiting for?
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, episode 49, here with producer Gary and my best friend Hans.
Yeah.
None of you can sit directly across from me because I'm in a dress and I don't know how to sit like a lady. So Gary, just don't look down. We had to get family pictures today and I didn't have time to change and I just cannot not sit normal, but... We've been in the studio like for 5 minutes and Haas just announced that he bought underwear for a stripper over the weekend.
Not just any stripper, our stripper.
Our stripper?
Yeah, she's our stripper.
Can we officially adopt Ashley as our stripper?
I think so. Okay. I mean, she's even said it. So.
Well, before we talk about the stripper underwear that you bought, I do want to say, because a lot of people, I got a lot of comments about our last show when the drag queen didn't show up and we just, remember like... So the drag queen didn't show up and we were all sitting in my living room and I'm like, we're just not going to do a show.
Yeah.
I don't have it in me. I don't have the content, you know. And then one of you were like, well, let's just turn the microphones on and see what happens.
I think it was a really good show.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I got so much feedback. Everybody was like, that's my favorite show ever.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe like once a month we should just not like literally not plan anything.
And just go.
And we don't plan a lot as it is. A lot of people don't know this. Haas gets zero warning of what we're going to be talking about. Other than like 5 seconds before we go on the air, I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, we're talking about hot dogs. You know,
I mean, you and I will like throw like articles to each other all week.
Right.
But we never really know until we walk in, like what's making the cut, what's not.
Right. And that's why it's so easy with you and I, because it's just so easy to talk about stuff. And it's not a talent, but it's I don't know. I just feel like we're all sitting in like a living room and, you know. Just hanging out and that nobody's... Right. It's just us. There's not thousands of people listening.
Well, I think one of the appeals for this show has always been that it's really just more of a conversation among friends and there just happens to be microphones.
Well, and when I was interviewed recently for another podcast...
Leaving us?
No. I was like guest hosting and the guy's like... Who does your editing? And I'm like, what editing? Like, other podcasts edit stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. Like, if we screw up, like, we just keep going.
Yep.
Takes too much damn time to edit.
But I think that also adds a human element to the show.
Right.
I guess so, if y'all like that. But
either that or I'm really, really good at what I do on the computer.
Well, I was going to tell you guys the update on the drag queen, you know, because we assumed that he would come out with some, like, big, lame excuse as to why he didn't show up, and I heard nothing. Crickets all week.
Really? Mm-hmm. Nothing?
Yep.
So just no show, no call?
No show, no call.
No excuse.
No.
You're
so
out.
You're out. You're a bitch.
You're done.
And, you know, I specifically didn't name him, you know, because obviously the Kelly Mano thing to do is, like, name him on the air and get everybody, like, riled up. But I don't need some freaking drag queen clapping back at me on Facebook, making me take out my hoop earrings, you know. So I really don't care. Maybe I'll come across a drag queen in the future that's reliable and will come in for an interview. But right now I'm not on the hunt because that asshole just burned me so bad.
Yeah.
Shelby. So over the weekend, you bought underwear for our stripper friend.
I did.
Now, she's engaged.
I know.
Are you going to be getting like, well, I would say getting your ass kicked, but not very many people can kick your ass.
It was one of those things where I was in Des Moines, Iowa this week for work.
You've been gone like so much lately.
Yeah, I've been home one day this week.
That sucks.
But I was in Des Moines. And I just happened to luck into that there was another Comic-Con in town, and my buddy who I was staying with wanted to go, so we went.
And how many Comic-Cons are there?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's the big one in San Diego, and then there's a company called Wizard World that tours them around the country, and that's the one that comes to St. Louis.
Yeah. I saw didn't you get a picture of the naked girl painted blue?
That is the radio station's, girl of the year, like the rock chick.
Okay.
So she dressed up as Mystique from X-Men and looked amazing.
Excellent. She
like,
did.
The artist did a phenomenal job.
It was a naked girl in blue paint.
Pretty much.
I don't know what could be so amazing about that,
So anyway, we were walking through Comic-Con, and there was a vendor that was selling items for ladies, and they were called period panties.
It's disgusting.
And it was basically just boy shorts, but they were all like cartoony with different, very kind of vulgar but funny things on them. And I remembered from when she was here that Ashley referred to that time as Shark Week.
Right,
and they
right.
had one that said Shark Week. So I took a picture and I sent it to her, and I was like, I know you're engaged. This is a little odd. Do you want these? I will get them. You have to pay me back so my conscience is clear.
Right, right.
And the other thing that was funny was I happened to take a picture that showed it was 1 for $12, 3 for $30. She's like, I want 3. Send me pictures of what else they have.
That's awesome. So I ended
up buying 3 pairs of underwear for our stripper.
It's kind of a good idea because girls don't want to wear their like fancy underwear right. during their period. So if you make like funny ones, then it's,
yep. and
you
these
know.
Are just like, Regular old cotton underwear, yeah. but they're like she got that one that says Shark Week on it, and they're all kind of like graffiti style paint.
Yeah.
She got one that said Camp Blood, and it's got Jason.
Ew, okay, this is getting gross.
And it's got Jason from Friday the 13th on it.
Like they're all freaking very disgusting.
It is. They're very disgusting and crude, but very funny.
Now, I saw something online actually today. It's funny we're talking about
here,
this.
Here, hold on. I think I have the picture on my phone.
I don't need to see look. Period Nate, panties.
No, you do.
Or all the freaking naked pictures you get.
No, you will laugh.
There was some ad for women's underwear, and it had pictures of cats.
I saw that. That was disgusting and disturbing.
So the one lady was sitting there, and it looked like
the cat was coming out of the crotch. I saw it.
Oh, that's just wrong.
God, just don't show me naked pictures of girls. Hoss likes to come in like I'm his sister or like one of the guys. He's like, look, I got another naked picture today.
Wait, Shark Week is in the top
one,
right.
Aren't you one of the guys, though?
I pretty much am, especially right. in this room, for
so,
sure.
So, yeah, those are the pictures. That's the picture. Yeah.
Now, those are cute.
Cool.
Now, what does... Because, you know, I've been married for... Oh, crap. Uh-oh. There goes the stapler.
That's why we can't have nice things.
Our friend Ashley was talking about this guy who had sent her, like, a nasty message on Facebook.
For real?
Because
that was just rude.
He wanted to, like, hook up or something. And I've got my share of odd requests on Facebook or guys who have hit on me on Facebook. And I always show them to Jimmy and then delete them. And they're far and few between because most people know that I'm old and married. But I will say... that the little bit of, I don't even want to call it fame, but radio fame, what it is now and what it was 15 years ago, there's like a whole layer of creepy and the stuff that comes in our inbox.
For sure.
However, I am married. So when, you know, somebody sends me something weird, I delete it and then I just block them. Now you, as like a single guy, I'm trying to understand this. You have girls who send you like pictures of their butts and stuff all the time.
Not all the time, but it happens.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that they like you? Because if I mean,
let's be honest. What it means is it's a cry for attention.
Well, so what do? You write back like nice butt or do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you're complimentary because you don't want that pipeline to dry up.
You know what? Do you take a retaliatory picture? Like, here's my butt cheek.
No. I mean, if they would ask, maybe, but probably.
But
not.
What is the does the if a girl sends you a nudie pic, does that mean that she wants you to be like? I just can't even understand how grown adults communicate these days.
I mean, I would say that it probably means that the
does
avenue,
it turn into well does it turn into a booty call?
I was going to say I think that means the avenue is open.
That
for
means
that to
the
happen.
Avenue is open for a booty call.
Probably.
So that's what you single people do with your time.
Right. And yeah, because I was going to say, I'm an even older married guy.
Yeah.
So I know nothing about these things.
Well,
I'm 39 going on 19, really.
Pretty much. Well, don't be jealous. I mean, like, you know, some girls get wiener pictures. I get videos of
dudes on toilets.
Of listeners shitting on a toilet and sending me their video.
Fantastic.
that does not even scratch the surface. But... either way, hey, I'm glad we have fans.
Speaking of toilets, your new bathroom's awesome.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Dude, the guys that painted it were such freaking Hoosiers. Like, I'm normally not scared of people being in my home, but these people made people from Granite City look like they were from Frontenac.
I tell you what, they do good work.
They do great work. And I was so, when they pulled up and I saw them in their car, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be by myself with these guys all day. So I sent Jimmy a picture of their car. I'm like, if I get abducted today.
Get the Amber Alert
here,
ready.
Yeah, get the Amber Alert ready. Speaking of Amber Alerts, really good news about the little girl that was missing. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Play a fun game, whatever. We're going to do something. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Break it up and dismantle. Light it up like a candle. Just because I can't stand you. Put my on tapes like you busting grapes. Think you holding weight and you haven't met the apes. Stop. Drop. Shut them down. Open up shop.
The Kelly Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by our new sponsor, Aero Insurance Specialties, run by Angela McCormick. I call her Ange McCormick. Angela Fusaro McCormick is how you can find her on Facebook. She is an independent insurance agency that represents over 7 different companies. She handles auto, home, life, and business insurance. If you want to give her a call, it's 314-450-8384. Or you can go to their website, which is www.aeronow.net. I told you guys, we've already moved the Manos. We've already moved our home insurance and our auto insurance over to her. And auto insurance alone, she has already saved us $672 a year. And we did everything over email. It was amazing. It was easy. It was done in one day. She always uses reputable, financially sound companies. Bob's Bargain Barn is not going to be your new homeowner's insurance. Yeah. She found a great rate for us. If you want to get in charge. If you want to get in touch with Angela McCormick Fusaro, like I said, you can go to www.aero.net. I'm sorry, aeronow.net, or give her a call at 314-450-8384. As always, please tell her that Kelly Mano sent you.
Ting drinking is very bad. Yo, I got a fake ID though. Yeah. Two step with me. One, then comes the two to the three to the four. Everybody drunk out on the dance floor. Baby girl ass jiggle like she want more.
All right, so earlier this week, there was an article making the rounds that I thought was a new article, but it turned out to be old. But I think it popped up again because of the little girl in Tennessee that had been missing. There was the Amber Alert for her. And I think, like in most of those, we all sort of held our breath and pretty much all expected the worst. You know, it's very rare that a kid gets kidnapped and then recovered safely. So much so that when it does happen, like with Sean Hornbeck and Elizabeth Smart, like we can all tell you exactly where we were when we found out that those kids, especially being in Missouri, and you know, we all had followed the Sean Hornbeck story, you know, together as a community. And so I guess what happened was, you know, it was her uncle, her name was Carly, and it was her uncle that took her. He signed her at a school. And this story, it sounds like there's a lot more to it than we know, because this uncle had custody of her at one point, which is why when he walked in and signed her out of school, the school didn't think anything of it.
Right.
And they let him take her. But then it also showed him buying all of this camping equipment. So it was obviously he was going to be gone with her for a long time. And so the police came out and said, you know, look, if you are within like a 200-mile radius of where this girl was missing and you own property, because we're in the Midwest, so people own acres and acres and acres. And the police officers, the law enforcement said, we can't do this by ourselves. We need, you know, the people who live on acreage to go check your property. And these two guys did just that, found them on their property and held a gun to him, rescued the little girl, and waited for police to arrive.
So, and with me being on the road all week, I'm kind of naive to all this. Like, was she in danger, or were they just hanging out?
Very much danger. I mean, I don't think they've come out yet and said exactly what has happened to her.
Was this like there's duct tape and a shovel nearby?
I don't know. They didn't say, but I mean...
It puts the lotion in the basket type of trouble?
It's not good, because... Yeah. You know, even though he appeared to have custody of her at one point, if you are like the parent of a, if you have custody of somebody and you're trying to get him away to get him a better life, you don't go camping. You go to another country. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like if there was like a dispute in the family that, and you thought that her,
9 times out of 10, a tent is not better than indoor plumbing.
Exactly. Right. So like, for example, if you're in a nasty divorce and you have reason to believe that your husband is molesting your kids and you want to take him away, you take him and you run and you start a new life. You don't go in a van down by the river and, you know.
Correct.
So they caught him. She is okay. Okay, and that brought me to the story that I read. It was a Post-Dispatch story making the rounds on Facebook about Michael Devlin. So he was the guy who kidnapped Sean Hornbeck and Ben Omby. And, you know, everybody knows it as like the miracle in Missouri. And so a couple of years after he was you know, once he had been in jail for a couple of years, he finally granted an interview. I guess he maybe because of the lawsuits and stuff, he had to keep quiet. But he gave an 11-hour interview in 2008 to FBI agents and spoke with them for 4 hours to the Maryland Heights Police Department. The Department of Sex Offenders wanted to interview him and find out what goes on in your head. Help us. You know, you're already in jail for the rest of your life.
Oh, sure.
So the only thing that you can do now is help us understand what goes through your mind when you kidnap and molest children for years and years and years. So during this 4-hour interview, he says that he realized that he was attracted to young boys at about the age of 13.
Yep.
Devlin also describes a happy childhood, one free of sexual and physical abuse. You know, a lot of these times, these monsters who do this come from these really broken homes. Mm-hmm. He said that he grew up in Webster Groves, but that while he didn't have a weird upbringing as far as his family, his entire life he was emotionless. He talked about there was an incident where he saw someone get hit by a car, and he said that he felt nothing.
Yeah.
He was like 8 or 9 years old, and another kid playing in the street got hit by a car, and he felt absolutely nothing. He struggled for years to control his attraction to young boys, to the point where when he was working at Emo's, even, you know, while he had the boys in custody, he said that he always wanted to work in the back. He would stay away from children, like family and friends, things like that. And he said that he finally just reached his breaking point. He tried to have relationships with other men, and it didn't work out. And so he said his breaking point, this is where the article just sends chills down my spine, because it talks about how many missed opportunities he had to kidnap somebody.
Yeah, it said he basically was scouting for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. And that it was all about opportunity.
Yeah.
And so his breaking point came on a trip to Lake Michigan. He said that on that trip, he decided to give up his impulses because his romantic relationships with adult men were not working, and he didn't have the social confidence to groom a child to molest. And so he decided to kidnap one. And he talks about playing on the beach at Lake Michigan, and he had found a kid he wanted to kidnap. And the only reason he didn't take him was because he had his fishing boat attached to his truck, and he thought it would be too obvious.
Yep.
For 2 more years, it says, Devlin drove around Missouri looking for the right child at the right moment. He said he was cautious. He came close to abducting several children, but each time something was not right. He recalled a time that he nearly took a child who came door-to-door trick-or-treating to his house on Halloween.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that, because, you know, especially with kids that are a little bit older, that you start letting them go on their own, like Rocky. You know, he's 11 years. He's almost done trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I think from the time I was 10, I mean, we would go in groups, but we didn't have an adult.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so he could have grabbed him.
Yep.
You know, it was a kid alone and never been seen again. But again, I guess that the kid was either with, you know, somebody else, or somebody was watching, so he wasn't able to take him. Devlin said it was all about opportunity and availability. He was constantly looking for the right opportunity to kidnap a kid. The right moment came on October 6, 2012. He was driving on an empty road, because he said he would go out driving, just looking for kids. He spotted 11-year-old Sean Hornbeck on his bike, and no one else was around, so he used his truck and ran him over. Like knocked him off of his bike.
Yep.
So the detectives asked him what made him act at that point, and he said it was just opportunity. It was just the right place at the right time. Devlin did not have a plan for what to do with Sean after the abduction.
And this is where it gets creepy.
Yep. He kept him tied up in his apartment for a month, and then decided he was going to kill him. So after a month of molesting him, he took Sean out to a rural spot in Washington County, where he started to strangle him. Sean begged for his life, striking a bargain to keep quiet if he could live. And his abductor agreed. And this is where that Stockholm syndrome comes, where the abductor takes over. And at that point, you know, a kid, poor Sean, 11, 12 years old, whatever he was for at the time, you know, I guess whenever he was rescued, everybody was like, how could he have not just run away? The brain is a very intricate, crazy thing. And a couple years went by, and he just wasn't satisfied, so he wanted another boy. And again, spent months and months and months looking for another one. And that's when he found Ben Ownby.
And Ownby was 13, right?
Yeah, but he was
a... I thought he was much younger.
He looked much younger.
Yeah.
So I think this guy kind of had like an age range of what they wanted, what he wanted, and that's how he found it. And then, you know, we all know that how the story goes from there.
Yeah.
That there was a kid named Mitch who actually just saw a truck and remembered what it looked like, tracked him down and rescued him. And so just if you get a chance, I'll have Gary put the link to this article. It's the STL Today article. And it is crazy. And it just reminds me how much we need to talk to our kids about this kind of stuff. Well, because especially as mine get older, I feel like I did a better job with Rocky. And then as the, you know, Lucy and Libby Lou come along, you know, it just reminds me that we have to talk to our kids about this stuff all the time. And
oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a very fine line between. You don't want to put your kids into a situation where they are frightful their entire life.
Right.
But you know, always need to be cognizant of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that you can't trust someone if you need help.
Right.
But also, you know, you have to be able to keep your head on the swivel. The thing that's fascinating about that story to me is, and I have always been very fascinated by how the human body and mind work. Because when you think about what we as a society consider normal,
right.
Normal is the abnormality. There are so many things physically, mentally, that can go wrong with someone through no fault of their own that
right.
makes them whatever. But they talk about in that interview that Devlin is cognizant, aware, and knows that he has a problem.
Yep.
When he was asked by authorities, what is your sexual preference? His response was sick.
Yes.
But he shows no remorse.
None.
So he knows that there's a
problem. To this day, he shows no remorse for what he did to Sean and Ben. He has no remorse. He does not feel sorry for it.
And it's amazing because most people have that inner gauge in them that knows I'm doing something wrong. I need to stop.
Right.
And you can see in that from a young age, he fought that.
God.
But when it finally snapped,
right.
even though he still knew this is wrong, he had given up trying to stop it.
It's like I remember when I was a smoker before I had kids and how addicted I was to smoking and how much I had to have it. Mm-hmm. And you think that there's people in their brains that's how they feel about small children.
Right.
And it makes you sick.
Well, and I think that part of this may be the small child part of it. You know, you talk about how every family has a story that they don't like to talk about a lot.
Right.
I have a cousin who is now openly homosexual, has a partner, has a phenomenal great life.
Yeah.
As an adolescent, and I would say preteen through high school years.
Yeah.
He lived with his parents, obviously, and he had two younger sisters.
Mm-hmm.
He was so violent and so dark that the family, had deadbolts on all of their bedroom doors.
Holy
because
cow.
Because they were that afraid of him.
That's like stuff you see on Dr. Phil.
It was. When he finally came out, it stopped.
That's amazing.
And 3 years later, he was out to dinner with his mom, and my aunt asked him straight up, what was wrong? Do you think that it was you fighting? And he said straight up, Mom, I was so conflicted with...
On the inside
with what I was feeling and knowing that that's not how I'm supposed to feel.
Right.
That I didn't know what to do. And
it's like
I was
a pressure cooker.
Yep. Right. He said, I was angry at myself. I was angry at everyone around me.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to hurt people. And luckily, it never happened, and he came to terms with himself. I read that Devlin story, and there are excerpts from that I completely relate to my cousin.
Right, and it just goes to show, I mean, some people are just born sick.
Oh,
and
I agree.
I don't think any amount of therapy in the world can, I mean, yeah, I don't know where we go, but our mental health needs to be looked at way more closely in this country.
I agree.
With my kids... I talk to them a lot about trusting their gut. I always say, you know,
100%.
I explain to them, like, if something doesn't feel right, it's not. Oprah used to rave about this book called The Gift of Fear, saying that our fear is actually a gift, that, yep. that we're like the only like mammals who don't use our instinct. If we get in an elevator and somebody gets on that we don't have a good feeling about, we don't want to hurt their feelings, so we stay on and we don't listen to that instinct. And so, you know, I also teach my kids, you know, if you're lost, if you can't find me, find a lady with children. That's who you go to. I don't care who works there. I don't care, you know, find a lady who has a little kid and you go tell her that you're lost. And I read a lot about, you know, what the experts say about teaching the kids to kick, scream, fight. And I think that one of the best things that I ever did for my kids, and I'll have Gary put this up on the website too. In 2012, there was a little girl in Georgia, and she was only a couple, like one aisle over from her mom in Walmart.
Yep.
And this guy grabbed her and took off, and she did everything right. She fought, she kicked, she screamed, she bit him, and he set her down and ran. And I remember calling, at the time, Libby Lou was too little. I called Rocky and Lucy, and I said, I want you to watch this, because everything that this little girl does is what you should do.
Absolutely.
And then there was another story. This one was just in 2015. This one was kind of odd because there were three kids alone at a playground. It was a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and like a 2-year-old. And they were siblings. So, you know, not being judgy about their situation, but there wasn't a parent there in the first place. And along comes a guy and scoops up the 2-year-old and takes off running. And the 8 and 10-year-old brother and sister chase that guy down, screaming at the top of their lungs until he dropped the baby.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've got kids and you don't know how to talk to them about this because you don't want to scare them, go to KellyManno.com later today. I'm going to post both of those videos. I've shown them to both of my kids. And after reading this Devlin story, I'm going to show them again. You know, this is what you do. This is how you do it. So we'll be right back. It is the Kelly Manno Show. She's smoking my stuff, saying she ain't having fun. She ain't give it back, now you don't get none. Everybody in the club getting tips. Everybody in the club getting tips. Now everybody in the club getting tips. Everybody in the club getting tips. Now everybody in the club getting tips. Everybody in the club getting tips. Now everybody in the club getting tips. Everybody in the club getting tips. The Kelly Manno Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch.
It's the Kelly Manno Show.
The Kelly Manno Show is brought to you by Rachel Witt with Remax. Hoss, how excited are you that we are going to be living like 10 minutes from you here really soon?
It's going
to
be awesome.
I'm insisting that you only refer to us as the Manoritos when you come over.
Do I have to be Gibbler?
Yes, Kimmy Gibbler on Full House would come over and go, hey, Tanneritos.
Well, at least I'm not Uncle Joey.
Well, kind of. I don't know.
I mean, I could live in your basement and I do wear hockey jerseys.
I was just going to say I would not be surprised if Uncle Hoss is like living in our basement one day. But anyway, our move could not be made possible without Rachel Witt. She is the best real estate agent in the world. Moving is really hard. It is really stressful. And I wouldn't want to go through it with anybody but Rachel. If you are buying or selling a home, she is a veteran in the business. She has been doing this for 13 years and she has so much experience underneath her belt. She can answer every stupid, crazy question you have. And when you deal with the Mannos, you've got a lot of those, especially the time I tried to break into a house I liked and it was locked.
That's awesome.
Well, I didn't try to break in.
I want to buy your house. Here, let me break an entrance.
I was just checking to see if it was unlocked. I wasn't trying to break in, and it was locked. Thank God. Call Rachel Witt today, 636-720-3836. You can also go to her website, which is homesalesinstcharles.com. Again, give Rachel a call. Tell her that Kelly Manno loves her, and that's why you're calling her, 636-720-3836. It is the Kelly Manno Show, and Hoss has absolutely no idea what we're doing.
Not a damn clue.
This is what happens when I don't prepare for the show.
All right.
Is we do stuff like this. So Actually, I'm doing this with my family tomorrow. Okay. We're making a video. But since I didn't have a plan for like the second part of the show, I was like, well, screw it. I'm going to do it with Hoss too. So recently, James Corden, the funny chubby guy from with the
I like him.
He's got like the London accent. He did something with Melissa McCarthy called the Mouth Guard Challenge.
Okay.
Now the Manos, as a family, are going to do a video of this tomorrow. But Hoss, you and I are going to do a mouth guard challenge right now.
Okay.
So what's going to happen?
Wait, is this the weird picture you sent me of you and your daughter?
Yes.
That looked like something out of like a horror movie?
Yeah, you're getting ready to do it. Okay. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. Gary, we are on Facebook Live right now, and Gary has selected two people to represent either Team Kelly or Team Hoss. Do you want to say who the listeners were?
Yes.
Who are they?
Brian Munoz.
Okay.
Team Hoss.
What up?
Brian! What up, Brian? Freaking traitor!
That's my dude.
And the person that said that you're going to be even closer to her house than Hoss's when you move, Jess Krantz-Welge,
Kelly
Mano.
All right.
You're
playing
for
Brian, and I'm playing for Jess. And we are playing for $25 $25 Starbucks gift card. So here's what we're going to do. Gary has six phrases written down in his pocket. You and I are going to step out of the room, and Gary is going to read all six phrases to our listeners. You and I are going to come back in and put in the cheek separators, and we each have 30 seconds to tell each other the phrases. And if you can guess it, or if you can get the person to guess it, then you get a point.
Okay.
We'll figure it out as we go. Now, Gary, you're going to have to get an interesting angle because
so is this like password.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll move back once we start the game. I'll move
because
back
you'll have to get our mouths.
This is like $50,000 pyramid.
Right, but the thing is, you're reading a saying off of a paper.
Okay.
And I'm trying to guess what you're saying.
Got it.
Okay, so who gets the point? If I guess it, then I get the point.
Yeah. If you guess what Hoss is trying to say, you get the point. If you do not,
so
then Hoss gets
the
point.
What's to stop me from just
because you're not an asshole, and you're going to play the game right, or I'll kill you. Okay, so we're going to step out. Gary, do this fast. We're going to give you like 1 minute to read all six phrases for the listeners, okay?
Okay.
We're going to go on the front porch.
All right.
Okay.
Sure don't knock anything out here.
All right. Here, I can go on the back porch.
All
right. What's up, Piggy? All right, Gary, I'm going to 30.
Okay.
Alright,
so here we go. The first one that Kelly is going to read is Kim Kardashian's poop smells like broccoli and blueberries. Then the first one that Haas is going to read is fairy godmothers make the most beautiful moms. And Kelly will read.
Will we come in?
Not yet! My pet hippopotamus farted. Will say baby blue parents are very pretty. About 10 more seconds. Mommy is a twerking machine when she vacuums. And people picking purple pickles is pretty painful. And they come back.
All right. So you might have to stand up with that Facebook Live there so that you can get... Oh, yeah, keep those close so we don't see them.
Susie's very decisive whether she wants it or not.
That's fine. All right, so Hoss, here is your mouth guard.
Okay.
And here is my mouth guard. Gary, make sure you get a nice picture of these.
I am.
You see my jacked up grill?
Uh-huh. Hang on.
Once you put that in...
So how does this go in?
You gotta put your lips around it.
Okay.
Can you hold this for about 2 seconds after you get that in there?
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what? You don't have to put yours in yet.
Oh.
Because I'm going to read mine first.
Oh, okay.
And you got to try to guess.
Got
okay.
it.
Okay.
So, Gary? One, yep.
There we go.
I'm just going to see if I can get this stupid thing in.
Look at all that dental work. All
right. So, I'm reading the ones that are for Hoss, correct?
Give me the one that says Kelly.
Give you the ones that says Kelly.
All right. Okay. And then, Gary, we got 30 seconds for Hoss to get this. And if he gets it, he gets a hint.
Okay.
Okay?
I don't even know if this is going to fit, but we're going to try it.
You don't got to put it in right now because you're going to try to guess. Are you ready?
Yes.
Gary, you're going to count to 30 in your head. You got to come over here so that you get any. You got to come over here so that you get any. Or it's not funny. There we go. All
right.
All right. 30 seconds, Gary. Count in your head. I got to get Haas to know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to turn it to her. Okay. Are you all right? Get set.
And go.
Go. Ahi, her machine. When she hack you.
Yeah, I got nothing on that.
Wait, look at her up. Ahi. Ahi.
Yep.
Ahi. Ahi. What word is that?
Nothing.
Okay. Ahi is a...
And...
Yanni is a hottie.
Let me try it one more time. You gotta at least guess.
All right.
Ahi is a twerking machine when she vacuums.
Someone is a twerking machine when she... something.
So close. Oh,
so close.
It was mommy is a twerking machine when she vacuums.
Oh, okay.
All right, Haas put in. So Haas did not get the point in round one.
That is correct.
And so now Haas has to put it in. All right. You got to get your lips around it, and I really need to...
Oh, I got it.
I need to see your face, though, so turn the microphone sideways.
Sideways?
Like
that?
Yeah. Okay. You look good.
Okay. I'm awesome.
Yeah. We look so hot. All right, 30 seconds on the clock.
Oh.
Ready?
Bullshit.
And go.
Heedle Hicking Hurdle Pickles is pretty painful.
He's picking turtle pickles is pretty painful.
Close.
Okay.
People.
Cecil. People. People. Okay, people.
Picking. Purple.
Purple.
Pickles.
Pickles.
Is pretty. Painful.
Painful.
Where's our bell? We need our bell. All
right. My kid broke the bell. Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
So I am clearly better at this game than Haas.
Oh, yeah. I got nothing.
I got nothing on here. Get a good shot of all that dental work. That's a $100,000 off.
That's what happens when you wear your retainer.
Right.
This is what happens when you don't.
Did you have braces?
Oh, yeah, for like 3 weeks as a kid.
Oh, my God.
And you never know now because my bottom teeth are jacked.
Look at that grin.
That's awesome.
Oh, jewelry store tall, making a grill. Okay. All
right. When your retainer's cancer, your parents are going to be upset like mine.
Round two. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. And go. Harness, harden.
Slow down.
That's
why she got it.
I. Think of a word I can't say. I hit. Hit the harness.
All right, hippopotamus.
Yes, harden. Farted. Yes, I hit. Hit a harness.
Hippopotamus farted.
Yeah! I'm drooling everywhere. This is so gross.
It's awesome.
All right, Haas, put yours back in.
You sure you want to do six of these?
Well, we're doing three each.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
three each.
That's way better.
So I have, wait, it's 1-1.
One to one.
Okay. God, I'm going to need some chapstick when this is done.
Okay.
Wait.
Where do we get these from?
Well,
The demented mind
of Gary Weed.
Where did you get these from?
The point is he had to use words that were hard to say with our lips not...
Hey, did you make these up?
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. That's really good. These are like... Wow.
Oh. All right, 30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
Ready? Go.
Harry got others.
Harry got others. Carrie.
No.
Say the whole thing.
Harry godmothers make the most beautiful vowels.
Harry godmothers make the most beautiful vowels.
Close.
Fairy godmothers make the most beautiful
vowels.
Vows. Bows.
No.
Flowers.
Ding, 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 ding,
stop.
Ding.
Fairy godmothers make the most beautiful.
What was last Sunday? What are you?
Moms!
That's it.
Ding! I get the point! All right, last one. That's what you get for voting against me, Brian. All right.
I need a chest stick. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, God. Good Lord. Ready?
Yep.
On a clock? 3, 2, 1. Kim Kardashian.
Who
sounds like Hockley a horse. Kim Kardashian. Her okay. Her hoot smells like Kim Kardashian's hoot smells like broccoli and blueberries.
Alright, Kim Kardashian's foot smells like broccoli and what?
Okay, Kim Kardashian's hoot. Kim Kardashian's hoot smells like broccoli and blueberries.
Nothing.
Kim Kardashian's poop smells like broccoli and blueberry.
Honestly, I thought you were saying her foot smells like broccoli and mayonnaise. I was like, that's what?
All right. Well, I've already clearly won, but we're going to have Haas do the last one just for fun. Yes. Right. And then we've got to take a selfie for the website.
Right.
Because this is absolutely terrifying.
Is that a U or a V?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a U?
Yes, it's a U.
Sorry. All right, 30 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Go.
These are all really similar.
Okay.
Baby blue parrots are very pretty.
Baby blue parrots are very pretty.
Yep.
Holy shit, I'm amazing at this. Seriously.
If only there was a game show.
If only there was a game show.
We need to create it.
Where I can do this for a living. Okay, Haas, make sure.
By the way, and if there is, I'm forever the giver.
Okay, take that how you want.
That's real talk.
Yeah.
I need my lip gloss.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
I'm over here. I couldn't get it for you.
We need to remember whose was whose so that we don't. What am I kidding? We're all in this like cell together every week. We all have each other's germs anyway. So.
Speaking of lip care, I need Gary's advice, hockey people's advice.
Why Gary and hockey people?
Well, because Gary is a longtime member of the Beard and Mustache Club.
Oh, you're having trouble.
I'm getting a little walrusy on the mustache side. And I'm wondering, like, is it okay to trim?
Don't trim shit. We've been through two rounds.
That's what I'm asking. Like, I don't want to, but, like, I mean, I want to, but if it's going to F things up, I won't.
Don't touch it.
Okay.
Don't touch it.
That was the question.
No.
I don't care if you look like a freaking walrus's grandpa.
I mean, like, it's to the point where it's like, I can feel it, like, when I, like, when I'm talking, I can feel like curling in.
Yeah. Well, how do you think?
I don't care.
They're winning. So.
Oh, dude, I agree. I would shave a reverse mohawk if it would guarantee me a Stanley Cup.
Right.
All right. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
She gets
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Oh, you know what that music means? It means we are talking about La Tejana, the family-owned, authentic Mexican restaurant and grocery store.
Who is now without a hockey team
because they were cheering for the Stars and we eliminated them. But we still love Brenda and Tony so much. They keep their restaurant open 7 days a week, 365 days a year for fat asses like us. If you're feeling frisky, try their goat soup. It's what everybody loves. If you eat like a four-year-old like me, you can get the tacos, the fajitas, burritos. They can keep it simple. I can't stress enough the family-owned atmosphere and how much I love La Tejana. The Riverfront Times voted them best Mexican restaurant in 2015, and the Post-Dispatch said La Tejana is one of St. Louis's best spots in all of St. Louis for traditional Mexican fare. You do not get those kinds of awesome accolades if you are not the best at what you do. La Tejana is located in North County at 3149 North Lindbergh Boulevard. Again, that's 3149 North Lindbergh Boulevard. They also have a website. It's www.lataqueria. Wait, hang on. I'm going to get this right. La Tejana Taqueria.com.
Yay!
Or you can give them a call at 314-291-8500. Thank you so much, La Tejana.
Now you need to say that with a
Mexican, with a
mouth guard in.
No, absolutely not.
I am done with that mouth guard. My freaking cheeks are so stretched out.
Crazy.
So I'm very upset because I'm worried about my precious Justin Bieber.
Yeah, you should be.
Right.
Because as Hoss puts it, he is on the verge of a Britney 2007 meltdown.
Oh, dude. He is swirling the drain right now.
Well, so he went online a couple weeks ago and said that he wasn't going to take pictures with his fans anymore because he felt like it was sucking his soul out.
Yep.
And then now he said that he's not going to take pictures with any fans anymore because he feels like he's not human anymore because they just grab him. You know, it's like they don't even say hi or ask him for his name. Now, I don't think there's a problem with him feeling that way. I think there's a problem with him saying it out loud instead of just handling it on his own. And so last report, he was like barefoot in Central Park feeding squirrels and not talking to anybody.
Barefoot in a park in Boston, like chasing squirrels.
That's right. He was in Boston.
And was like freaking out when anyone would try to come up and talk to him.
Well, yeah, because he's on tour right now. So when you're on tour, it's not a time to say like, hey, I'm not going to do any pictures. I'm not going to, you know. So he's obviously in the camp of a lot of these other stars that they have so much talent and so much fame that I think it's hard for us regular people to put ourselves in their positions. I mean,
I think a lot of it also comes with the fact that, you know, people like Justin, people like Britney got so big at such a young age where, you know, they, when you're of that age and you're starting out and someone says, do this, you do it.
Right.
Well, as you start to get older and you start to get your own thoughts and you want to do your own thing, but you've been told for so long, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do it this way.
Right.
Like, I get where, in your head, like, what you're feeling is battling what you've been told is the right business way to do things.
Right.
But you hit the nail on the head. And that's kind of what I was getting at weeks ago. If you don't want to do these things, that's fine. Just shut up and stop doing them.
Don't make announcements about
it. Just let it go away. Because no one's going to know.
Right. It's like the people who leave Facebook and make a giant.
I'm going to cut friends. But I'm cutting 100 friends. Oh. Just cut them.
Goodbye. Yeah. I don't need to be your friend. Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, peace out.
But I actually kind of disagree with what you're saying because in this day and age, it doesn't just go away.
Somebody
is going to come out. Some disenchanted fan who didn't get a picture with Justin in Times Square when he was walking around with his with whatever and is going to get ticked off and put it on Facebook.
But
and,
I mean in regards to at shows. If you want to stop doing official meet and greets, just stop doing them.
I get that.
Justin Bieber says no to people all the time. I mean, there's plenty of people, but for him to come out and lay it on the line and say, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
That kid needs a break. And not only does he need a break, but have you guys ever seen his dad?
That kid needs parents.
Well, his mom is pretty normal. His dad is like king douchebag of the world.
Yeah. You look at a picture of his dad and you're like, that makes sense.
All right. Then. But on the flip side, I mean, I know that we poke a lot of fun at Justin because of, you know, the stupid things he does. Holy shit, that kid is so talented.
Oh, he's incredibly talented.
If you've ever seen his little documentary, I forgot what it was called. Me and Lucy have seen it a million times.
Okay, man card, never say never.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks, Gary. God, you are totally a girl. So Bieber's documentary, Never Say Never, it's back in his early days. And it really showed. It's like, God, that kid is just so talented. But it's almost like a curse to be born with that much talent.
Well, it's a curse in regards to there are people out there in every industry that will leech off of people with talent.
Right.
And even those who are genuinely trying to help you, I think as an artist at some point you start to question,
everybody's
are you really
motives.
Helping me or are you just trying to get a piece of the money?
Yeah, well, Britney is just now going to court with that
Sam Luft.
Yes.
Dude, that dude is shady as F.
And he's the one who's pretty much responsible for Britney's entire, you know, breakdown.
Yep.
He was the one...
Pulled her away from the family and everything.
Well, Britney clearly has some mental health issues. And it looks like they're really under control thanks to her family.
Yep.
And thanks to, like, a lot of great care. I think that her dad still has a conservatorship over her, and it's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
But her family is a tight-knit, small-town family, and, you know, even though her parents are divorced, they got together, and she seems to be doing great. But, you know, there's hope for Bieber, because, you know, I really thought Lindsay Lohan would be dead by now.
Oh.
I mean, she went off the deep
end
as
some,
well.
I can tell you off-air some incredible Lindsay stories.
Oh, nice. She is insane.
So I have a question.
But again, broken, crazy family. What do you expect?
Right. Mom living vicariously through her daughter.
Oh, God, it's disgusting.
It's Drew Barrymore Part 2 is what it is.
That is.
There you go. So the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me, what's the difference between Britney, even Christina to a mm-hmm. point, J.C. Chazet, who is
right.
falling off the face of the earth, and we don't know where the heck he is, and Ryan Gosling, Justin Timberlake, the ones that have come out the other side.
I can tell you, from my point of view, in regards to Christina and Britney, it's very easy. They were forced to be sexualized at a very young age.
Right. And also, I think that just because everybody went through the same experience as a kid, you're still all going to come out differently. You still all have different brains. We just talked
right.
about crazy Michael
yeah.
Devlin.
Yeah.
You know, that's not to say that Justin Timberlake has never had mental health issues or Ryan Gosling, but maybe they handled it better. Maybe they had, you know, I know that Justin's really close with his family.
Right.
Again, it comes so much down to family. I think that your family is what grounds you.
No matter what
level of success you have, your family is what grounds you to everything.
And to that regard, it is up to your family to be real with you.
Of course it is.
If your family starts becoming fans,
right,
that's a problem.
Because
and I'm not going to name names, but...
Taylor Swift.
I know a family of a pop star who's...
Not named Taylor Swift.
Who's... Yeah, not named, not Taylor Swift.
Allegedly.
Swaylor Tift.
Who some of her family have crossed that line, and it's really effing awkward.
How do you think your family would react if you got, like, really famous tomorrow?
My mom would not care.
Yeah.
My dad, I think, would fall somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I noticed it when I was in high school and I started getting recruited by colleges.
Basketball.
That my dad really started to enjoy it a
yeah.
lot.
Yeah.
To the point that it started to turn me off of basketball.
Yeah. Gary, if we were all famous tomorrow, how would your family handle it?
You got to remember, Jewish mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Everybody and their brother would know about it.
Yeah.
If we get famous, there's a much bigger problem than my family.
Yeah.
What's that?
I want you to keep in mind my two biggest idols are Axl Rose and Fred Durst.
Okay.
You guys are in a world of trouble.
Well,
but you still wouldn't be able to get a tattoo, though.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. I have a way around that, by the way.
Oh, should we tell them what I texted you Monday afternoon?
Yeah, he made his mom cry.
I officially made my mom cry.
On Mother's Day.
Yeah. I went over Sunday after the show, and she broke down. She's
yeah.
like, you can't do this.
We'll see. My mom already thinks that I'm famous, and I'm not. But my mom, you know, I come from a smaller town, and God love whoever bumps into my mom at Shop and Save. I mean, like, she will literally tell you everything I'm doing.
My family's the same way.
Yeah, they're like, hey, Joyce, how are you? She's like, did you know Kelly sent $300 in poop to Stan Kroenke?
Yeah.
Like, everything I do, like... It's the equivalent of, like, cutting out newspapers with me and hanging them on her, like, cork
right,
board.
Right,
you know? It, like, if you bump into her anywhere, it's, like, verbal diarrhea. And it's my brother, too. I mean, he's got a much more normal job than me. But especially anytime, like, I'm working with the athletes or, like, you know, something like that. But, yeah, people will run into me and be like, hey, Kelly, how have you been? And I'll start telling them, like, oh, yeah, I ran into your mom last week.
I know
everything that's going on in your life, what your kids are doing, what everybody's doing. Hey, we might not have another show this week.
Because life.
Because sometimes you just can't. It just depends. If If we feel the need to do a second show this week, we will. But we tried to make this one a little bit extra long for you. You can always go back and listen to one of the old shows.
Yeah,
I mean, binge listening.
There's
is
lots
good.
Of them.
The barf show is hysterical.
Yeah,
and the show with the NHL wives. I mean, we're in playoffs.
That's a great show.
So if you didn't listen to the show with the NHL play with the NHL wives, like Kelly Backus and Alana Reeves and Erica Ott. That was a great show, especially if you like hockey, and that's a kid-friendly show, too, that you can listen to.
Farticus.
What was the name of that one?
I think we just called it Farticus.
God, I watched that YouTube video the other day, and he called me the day. He's like, Kelly, I need to be back on your radio show. I'm like, why? He's like, I learned how to fart Eye of the Tiger.
That's amazing.
So I don't think that there's going to be another show this week. But there'll be two more next week. We'll get right back into it. We gotta go.
You know we're gonna say that and something big's gonna happen.
I know, we're
like,
gonna have to get on.
News team assemble.
Right.
Alright, we gotta go. Be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, a little bit smart assy horse.
I'm so effing tired, I got nothing.
Alright, see ya.
See ya.
Thank you very much.